Now, as we continue with our studies in the life of David, I want to direct your attention today to some interesting lessons to be found in the second book of Samuel, chapter 6. 2 Samuel, chapter 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah, and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now verse 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone, to his house. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow again in prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee because we're ever so conscious that we need Thee. We remember in Thy Word that every day Thy people had to go out and gather their daily supply of manna. We thank Thee for the supply that Thou didst send to them. We also thank Thee for the supply of spiritual food that was given to us in Thy Word. Help us to gather it and to feed upon it, that we may grow thereby. And also again we pray Thou shalt help us to practice the things we learn. Hear us now and bless each listener for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we come today to a very interesting portion from the Word of God. Very instructive portion, and also a very interesting section of the life of David. By this time, of course, David is now the king. We've learned that. But it throws our minds away back to the time when David was just a young man, perhaps looking after his sheep out on the plains of Bethlehem. But while he was tending the sheep, thinking of the circumstances of that day and things that were happening in the nation and all the changes that had taken place, there was one thing that seemed to be heavy on David's heart. How he got to know this, we don't know. But David knew that the ark of God was not in its right place. Now, David had a desire. David's desire was this, that the day would come when if he was in the place of power, he would see to it that some place was provided for that ark to be housed. There must be a place made for that great piece of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant. David seemed to know where it was, or had an idea, and deep down in his heart was a desire that God would use him to provide the place for that ark. So David has a desire. Nothing wrong with a desire, it's right. And so when he comes to the throne, he's going to have this desire carried out. Now, the question arises, what is the meaning of the ark? What did it stand for? Then a second question may come up here. Why was it out of place? Who took it out of its rightful place? Another question may be asked, how long had it been out of place? Now this sets the very foundation for the lesson to be learned from 2 Samuel chapter 6. First of all, the ark was the chief piece of furniture, you might say, in the tabernacle. One day in the year, called the Day of Atonement, the high priest of Israel was permitted to enter right in within the veil and stand in that compartment in the tabernacle that was called the Holy of Holies. Now, in the Holy of Holies, there was one piece of furniture. It was this Ark of the Covenant. Now, the piece that you might call the lid of that ark, that is the top of the ark, was made of solid gold, and that was called the mercy seat. But remember, the mercy seat could only be a mercy seat when it was sprinkled with the blood of a sacrifice. And so, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest of Israel went inside the veil and sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat, and he had an acceptance with God. First he had an acceptance for himself, and then he had an acceptance for the nation. But now, for a long time, that ark was out of place, and the question arises, why was it out of its place? When the children of Israel became established in the land, the tabernacle, which they had used all the way through the wilderness, that tabernacle was given a kind of semi-permanent position at Shiloh. But during the days of Eli the priest, they had taken the ark out of its place. Someone had a bright idea when they were fighting the Philistines. If only they had the ark of God in the midst, they would be triumphant all the time. They looked upon it as being some kind of magical, religious idea. They took it out of its place, and they took it with them into battle, and at that time they lost it, and the Philistines got it. Now, let us remember this, that while it was a piece of furniture in the tabernacle, the meaning of it is this, that everything about it was a foreshadowing of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot go into the details of that just now, but you take that for granted, I'm sure, that every piece of that particular piece of furniture spoke of Christ. In fact, every part of the tabernacle set forth something pertaining to the person and the glories of Christ. So therefore, the ark spoke of Christ. Not only in its construction, but in its contents, etc. Now then, that which spoke of Christ was taken out of its place. And at this time, when David is going to bring it back, do you realize it had been out of its place for approximately 70 years? It was out of its place before ever Saul came to the throne as their king. And he had reigned for 40 years. And then David now has been in authority for 10 years. So judging the years that passed before the coronation of Saul, and the years he reigned over them, and the time now that David has been in the place of authority, I think we can assume it's been out of its place for approximately 70 years. We might go a little further. That ark never again was taken back to Shiloh the work at Shiloh had completely collapsed. Oh, they may have been carrying on with the mechanics of the thing, but there was no reality. Now, we learn then the meaning of the ark. This piece of furniture was a foreshadowing of the person of Christ. It was out of its place because of religious superstition, and the Philistines had captured it. And then they didn't want it, and they sent it back. And for about approximately 70 years, it had been down there in the house of Abinadab. But David has a desire to bring it back. Now, we come to this point, and we must look at this very fairly and squarely. David, at this time, wants to do the right thing. Now, it was a good thing that David had it in his heart to bring back the ark. But then, we must remember this, there's always the danger of departing in anything from the Word of God. Now, David wanted to do the right thing, but at this point, he's going to do the right thing in the wrong manner. After all, there is some importance in the Word of God as to how we do a thing. Now, it's no use saying that the end justifies the means. That will not do and not hold when it comes to the things of God. Here then I notice David's disobedience, making a new cart. Verse 3 says, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart." Now, no doubt, in getting this new cart, David employed the very finest carpenters that could be found at that time. There's nothing said that there was anything wrong with their work. I'm quite sure of this. They made a first-class job of this cart when they made it for David the king. They would be the best workmen he could find. No doubt he would pay them good wages for their work. But the question arises, where did David get the idea? Why did David want to have a cart to bring up the ark of God? See, after all, there was a lot of zeal here. You have men who are busy working, and they make the ark. Now, the question arises, where did David get this idea? Now, it's been pointed out, and rightly so, that the idea for a cart to carry the ark was born originally in the mind of a heathen soothsayer. It was born in the mind of a Philistine, a heathen man. It was a heathen man who suggested the idea to the Philistines to make a cart and to put on it the ark and send it back, being drawn along by the kine. Now then, many years have passed since then, but David wants to do the same thing. He's going to imitate the Philistines, and he got the idea of making a cart in order to convey this ark back to Jerusalem. Now, my friend, let me remind you again of this. There's always the danger of departing in anything from the Word of God. If David had only taken time to read the Scriptures before he acted, perhaps that man's life, Uzzah, might have been spared. David would have escaped his awful humiliation. And yet, it's strange to say that you have men today who are doing exactly the same thing. You know, we're living in days when men want the new carts. If these men had taken time to consult with the Word of God, they would have known this, that God laid down in the Scriptures one way and one way only for transporting that ark. If the ark was to be moved from one place to another, it was to be carried. When God gave instructions to Moses, he told Moses how that the rings were to be put in the corners, four rings, and two staves were to go through these rings. Then you would have four men, and these men must be Levites. two in front, two behind. And this ark would be suspended on their shoulders. They would carry it. They would feel the weight upon them as they carried the thing that spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it seems that David did not consult with the Word. Notice this. Wherever David inquired of the Lord, he was led correctly. But if David moved without inquiring of the Lord, he made mistakes. Now we also ought to learn that lesson. If we try to move in our own ideas, and we do not consult with the word of the Lord, we are sure to act in disobedience. David made the mistake. Now get this clear. His idea was good. He wanted to do the right thing, but he did it in the wrong way. He followed the idea of the uncircumcised Philistines. My friend, let us question this today. In this latter part of the 20th century, we discover this, that those who are professing today to do the work of the Lord appear to be following the ideas of the unsaved and the uncircumcised, so to speak. What are we doing? In trying to promote the things of God, we are following all the gimmicks of the world. The advertising is exactly the same as the world's methods of advertising. We're making new carts. The old ideas are out so far as some people are concerned. But nevertheless, the Word of God is still saying to us, preach the Word. Preach the Word. And that's the way that God has ordained that the Word of truth is to be spread around. Preach the Word. But strange to say, we've got all sorts of ideas today. How many churches today, local churches, don't think their program, if we may use that word the way they use it, their program is not complete unless they build for themselves a recreation center. Oh, you've got to have your recreation center today or you won't be able to hold your young people, so they tell you. And so therefore, we've got to follow the ideas of the world. We've got to do it the way they do it. But let me ask you very plainly right now, is it proving to be successful? Now here we have the idea of David with his new cart. It seems there was nothing wrong with the cart, it was well made. And they get the ark put on it. And then they're coming up the highway when they reach a place where the wheels of the cart get stuck somehow in the ruts. And the cart begins to wobble, and the cows that are dragging it begin to stumble. And this man, Uzzah, puts forth his hand. And as he puts forth his hand, he tries to steady the cart. Now, there's no need for a man to put forth his hand to steady that which speaks of the things of God. Because Uzzah was only a man. And as he put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. There he died by the ark of God. Here we're faced with the discipline of God. And God's discipline was punitive. Right there and then, the man was struck down. God's discipline was personal upon the man who did this and made this error. But God's discipline was preparatory in order to prepare the people to do that which was right. See, God acts in discipline, and you know discipline must begin at the house of God. It begins with God's people. It's a very strange thing when you come over to the New Testament and you begin to read through Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Things were wrong in the church at Corinth, and when we come to chapter 11, we discover this. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God had acted upon them in discipline. Why? Because they were doing things in the wrong way. And then there is the displeasure of David. David isn't pleased when this happens, Now, I don't know what caused his displeasure. Perhaps it was because his whole program came to an end. My David had set this thing up. What a parade this was to be. He had the whole band there, you know. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments. They had the whole band out leading the procession. They had their harps and their psalteries and their timbrels and their cornets and their cymbals and so on. And they're coming up with the band leading the procession. And they're bringing up the ark when this thing happened. And the whole procession came to an end and a man met his death. David's whole program was shattered. That being so, there's a delay. And during that delay, the ark is taken into the home of a man called Obed-Edom, and God blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and he blessed Obed-Edom, and he did it because of the ark. You know, I'm reminded of a verse in the New Testament, over in the book of Revelation, in the letter that's sent to the church at Laodicea. Very strange thing there, what had happened. And the Lord is outside of it all. Oh, they're still carrying on with all the mechanics that are going on fine. They're holding great services and they're having a great offering. They're in need of nothing, and the Lord's outside the door, and here's what he's saying. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. That seems to fit in with what happened here in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Obed-Edom opened the door of his house, and the ark which spoke of Christ comes in. And as long as the ark is in the house of Obed-Edom, God blessed that man and blessed his household. Ah, my friend, we're living in days when the professing church has turned away from the simple principles of the Word of God, and God's hand has come down in discipline. But remember, if anyone will open the door, he says, I'll come in and I'll sup with him, and he with me. Now, it's during this time, it takes 3 months, and we notice the diligence of David. There's diligence, you know, in preparation. David did something now he should have done to begin with. He begins to investigate. He consults with the Word of God. And he learns something. He learns this, that while he was trying to do the right thing, he was doing it in the wrong way. And so therefore, his zeal won't do. It's not enough to be sincere and to be zealous. The ark must be brought up in the right way. And so David makes preparation now. He's very diligent. You know, method should never degrade our message. The message should be proclaimed in the right way. And now, the religion of Jesus Christ, you know, cannot be driven in a mechanical fashion. There was no wheels on the ark. It couldn't be pushed or pulled. It had to be carried. We may invent new machinery and organizations and put our faith in them, but if the burden of the Lord does not rest on our hearts, the cause of Christ shall make no progress through us. But now David carried it into the house of Obed-Edom, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his house. But then the time comes when they bear the ark of the Lord. They did not invent another new cart with elaborate decorations to help it in its progress. Neither did they pay others to do the carrying for them. They boldly took the burden of the Lord and bear it. Now the cause of Christ is not to be advanced by those who know no more about the personal Savior than the oxen knew about the ark. Christ, like the ark, must be borne by those who have been separated unto him. That was the Levites. Let us see to it that we carry the ark in the correct way. Let us see to it that we present Christ in a scriptural manner. Let us see to it that we bear our testimony in a God-honoring way, and God's blessing shall rest upon us